This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Go to GoDaddy.com for all of your domain and web hosting needs. Save 10% off by going to GoDaddy.com and entering the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13.
You're too late.
Actually, it seems that we found you just in time.
I told you to pick your side carefully. Good has won, just as it always does.
I think the day's finally come, my darling Snow, for you to learn a long overdue lesson.
Johanna!
You see, in the end, it isn't good or evil that wins, but power.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is a podcast that, if you possess it, will allow you to control the Dark One himself. We also talk about Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's good. How's it going with you?
Good. Good. It's been a bit since we've had a regular episode because of the Oscars.
We had a regular episode last week.
That wasn't a regular episode. That was a roundtable.
We had a regular...
Yeah.
Well, see, we recorded that last episode so late.
Yeah, it might
And then we had the roundtable, and then here we are.
The roundtable was fun, though.
Awesome.
If you didn't listen to it, we did...
Everybody should send Daniel from One's Podcast a Starbucks gift card, though.
But, we did a Google Hangout with... What, like eight other Once Upon a Time podcasters?
Or like five or six.
Yeah, something like that.
You're not a math guy. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This
you
isn't about math.
This isn't about math. This is about words. Once upon a time words.
But it was a lot of fun. We had a blast talking with everyone about theories and about how I was right last time.
Because he didn't like to say that seven times.
Yeah, but what you were saying about Daniel and the Starbucks gift cards. Daniel, the host of the Once Podcast, he said that if a certain character wasn't revealed as a certain fairy tale character.
Was revealed as a certain fairy tale character
that he would be drinking coffee.
And he hates coffee.
Based on this week's episode, I think he better get – I suggest a dark roast, maybe a little cream or Bailey's if that's your thing. But I hope you enjoy that coffee, Daniel. But why don't we go ahead and talk about this week's episode.
All right, let's talk about this week's episode. And we meet Snow's mom. She doesn't survive. Rumple gets stabbed when Hook's Hook arrives. Bay's stealing his ship as the dagger deals dread in this week's episode. The Queen is dead.
Yes, this was a pretty good episode.
This was
overall.
A really good episode.
We got to meet some important characters in Snow's early life.
And say goodbye to them as well.
Yes. But
hello. Goodbye.
Alvitas and good night.
Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
Anyway, one of those new characters we got to meet was Johanna.
Mrs. Padmore,
yeah,
for those of Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
love.
I've never watched the Downton Abbey, so I didn't really have
the
association. But my big revelation during my second watching tonight of this episode is that Johanna, although she comes off as a very sympathetic character and you feel very bad for everyone involved when she dies at the end, I think she was in on the whole plot with Cora. I think Cora was using her. I have evidence here that I'm going to pull out of my evidence file.
All right, let's hear the
concerning
evidence
this
file.
Theory. Okay, so I think it's true. That's point one.
It was the worst evidence ever.
Okay, point two.
Thrown out of turn. No.
It really is true. No, okay. So who told Jon Snow about the Blue Fairy, who was actually Cora?
Oh.
Johanna. Who,
that she's not even supposed to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll buy that one.
Who took Snow out on her horse the day that Regina saved her, as we found out in a flashback in this episode?
They were all out. They were traveling.
They were all out.
But she was with Johanna.
She was with Johanna, talking to Johanna. Who was Snow looking for when she stumbled coincidentally upon Cora and Regina in the woods?
Well, she was already with Johanna, but yeah.
She was looking for Johanna. Hmm. Who was used as a bargaining chip when they had the big confrontation about the dagger in the clock tower?
Johanna.
And who had a shocked and shamed look on her face when it was revealed that Cora was the one who killed Snow's mom? Johanna. Johanna was in on the whole thing. That's my theory. What do you think?
I like it, actually.
You like it?
I do.
Can you see any weaknesses in it? Because I don't... I was trying to poke holes in it.
No,
and
I really
it seems
don't.
Really solid.
It does seem really solid.
Which, if that true, leads
if that
to...
true? Very good.
I said...
English.
I said, if that is true, is Johanna really dead?
Oh, no even? Way. If she was in on it, she's not dead.
Yeah, if she was in on it, it was all a ruse anyway.
Right.
But that's my theory. I want to hear everyone out there's thoughts on this because I think it was one of those seen through the Matrix kind of breakthroughs with the show. So I want to get people's opinions on it. I also left my phone on. I apologize for that. and it was actually Nani, I think, sending us Nani?
I said, oh, was
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, was it? Yeah. I think she's cool. Sending us preview clips.
Awesome.
But yeah, you can write us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And you can also, you know, leave comments on the website. We'll give you all that information at the end of the show.
We're just going to make you listen to the whole thing to get all the contact info. So, okay. So Johanna in on it. I see it. I totally see it. Now the flowers. I was really kind of obsessed with the white flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really obsessed with it.
Well, they were all over the place in this
they
episode.
They were, and like, it didn't faze me as much the first time until, like, towards the end. I'm like, okay, these flowers are everywhere. They're obviously super important. And then the second time, like, in my notes, I'm just, like, there's points where I just write, flowers, what are these? So I did a little research. The white flowers, they're – first of all, they were on the back of the birthday card, Johanna's little garden, Ava's funeral. I have this vision of Hook having one, but it wasn't in this episode. So maybe it was the last episode and it's like sticking with me. But they are called snowdrops.
Snowdrops, appropriate.
Snowdrops. And, you know, we did get a little backstory on the flowers. We just never got the name. Mm-hmm. But they can withstand the toughest winters, which is – and. Snow was born in the middle of the toughest winter, hence her mother named her Snow.
You'd think it would be from all the snow everywhere, but no, it was the flower.
It was from the flower surviving the snow, which I think is really, you know, something beautiful coming out of that. But I did a little bit of research and let's see. They are typically associated with Tinkerbell.
How so?
The shape. The shape is usually the like her skirt. And also with Peter Pan, like the style of their clothes is very similarly shaped to the hem of the costume, how it's like a zigzag.
Yeah.
That's sort of how the petals fall.
That's interesting.
I thought that was pretty interesting, seeing as how we do have a lot of Peter Pan-esque action going on right now.
Speaking of when Hook comes in and attacks Rumpel with the poison hook, or Neil Cassady recognizes Hook
and doesn't seem at all fazed, which is the best part.
Oh, he's like, oh, it's Hook.
Hook,
surprise, surprise. And then when they get in and they realize that they have to take Hook's ship back, we find out that Bay has
they can drive a pirate ship.
Yeah, he can drive a pirate ship. And he also mentions that our land was not the first land he went to. So I think that's pretty much Peter Pan confirmed.
I think it's Peter Pan confirmed.
Yeah, I think that's
he
basically.
He all but did like a Lost Boy dance. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the only thing is it was so obvious. I think the only other option is that he's a Lost Boy and another character was actually Peter Pan, and they made it seem that obvious, so that would be a swerve in who the character who is Peter Pan, who it actually is, would be a big, big surprise reveal. But I might be giving them too much credit.
I think for this, let's think of some of the obvious knock you over the head things, i.e. the typewriter that we've had recently.
Yeah, that wasn't very subtle.
No, not even remotely. But that's why I kind of think he's Peter Pan, and I'm still set on August being a lost boy.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
So I don't know why he didn't pull something from that, but then maybe that would have given too much away soon.
I mean, like I said, you know, it seemed pretty much they were pointing to that conclusion, and that's the conclusion I hope that thread comes to, because, you know, I've been saying that since last half season.
Yeah, you really been calling us in a while.
He would be Peter Pan and Bay. But we'll see, I guess.
Okay. Okay, so Cora planted that map. This is going sort of with your Johanna thing.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely – her and Cora were, like, behind this entire situation. Like, I honestly – because the map in the library led to nowhere, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it led to right outside of Johanna's house.
Yeah, it led right to outside. And, who told Regina to go look in Belle's bag for a location? Guarantee it was Cora.
And also, come to think of it, that whole tiara that Johanna gives Snow for her birthday, she said she got it from Mr. Gold's shop.
I was wondering how the heck she got that out of Mr. Gold's shop.
Because you very rarely see Mr. Gold actually sell anything outside of his shop unless it's part of some sort of deal.
Right. And I feel like he'd have had to have been in on it too if he's selling that.
Yeah. And I mean, Cora's been in there a couple times. She was in there when
they were making
they made out. And
more about that later.
Then didn't they break in there to look for the dagger?
Probably.
Before they went looking for the map? I think they did. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. But
16 emails about how you're wrong coming now.
But I still have one data point.
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, it was all just to get them to call Rumple and find out where it was for them to protect it. It was sort of a we're watching you watch us watching you kind of deal.
Yeah. I think even if I am wrong on Johanna, which I don't think I am,
I think
Snow stumbling across them was no accident, and that it was definitely part of Cora's plan.
It was completely planted. Also, who let Regina go digging in anything in that outfit? That skirt was all the way up her. And she's digging around in the winter in the woods.
I just love that it didn't occur to either of them to use the very powerful magic that they wield to dig the hole. Come on now.
Like, you can appreciate? I don't know.
I don't
you
levitate.
Disappear.
Conjugate.
Reappear. Conjugate. Yes, we're conjugating verbs now.
Conjugating the earth. The meek shall conjugate the earth.
It's one of those nights, ladies and gentlemen. It's one of those nights. I'm sorry. But yeah, that was the worst digging outfit. But I mean, obviously, see, my point is moot now that we've already talked about it. But yeah, it was all – it's all a plot.
Yeah.
It's all a plot.
It's just a matter of how far it reaches.
How far it's intertwined.
But those kind of questionings opening up are due in no small part to the fact that this episode kind of answered a lot of those questions people were having as far as what Cora was involved with. It definitely showed that she had some things in the works outside of what we already knew.
But I mean,
it thinks if we didn't know that. Like, Cora was responsible for Snow's death. What else don't
Snow's
we know?
Mom's death.
Or Snow's mom's death.
She wants to be responsible for Snow's death.
Yeah, I don't think so. She's using Snow.
She's definitely using Snow, but that's going to be – we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But another big reveal in this episode is that Bay, Neil Cassady, has a fiancée.
Tamara, which we've known a character called Tamara was coming.
Tia and Tamara from Sister Sister. That was an ABC show, too. Maybe they're doing a crossover?
Not in the slightest.
Okay.
Not.
Okay, continue with what you're saying.
It was your point.
No, but You know, if nothing else, that definitely that explains why he didn't rush to Storybrooke when he got the postcard, the greetings from Storybrooke postcard.
But he didn't.
That, by the way, we didn't mention this, features in our new album art.
Yes.
That here, talk about Bay for a second. I need to get the artist's name so we can give him credit.
But see, I don't think he'd have rushed to straight to Storybrooke anyway, even if she wasn't there, because when they show up, he has no interest in going to Storybrooke because that's magic. That's the life he left or was shoved away from.
Mm-hmm.
So he sort of has shunned it for many a moon.
Yeah, but my thinking was when...
It's a pretty website. Love that new cover. Album art.
Album art, yeah. It's really nice. I mean, I'm getting the artist's name here. One second. It's a tribute design on DeviantArt. He had this the artwork for the postcard as part of this weird, crazy, cool movie poster. And I saw it, and I went ahead and got a hold of him. And I asked him if you know, we could – if he had that, just the postcard available that we could – incorporate into our album art. And he wrote me back and was like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
So thank you.
Yes, it's definitely awesome.
Like, that's, I like that better than our old album art.
Yeah, I guess his proper name is Emil. So yeah, but it's tributedesign.deviantart.com. And we want to thank him a lot for that. But back to the show.
Sorry. Sidebar over.
Yes. But like my big – did I say this? My big concern was that you'd think if it was the love of his life when he got that postcard – and this was after Tallahassee and we found out that they were romantically linked.
Right.
You know, if he got that postcard and the love of his life was there and he knew he could go get her because that was the only reason the curse would be broken.
Right.
That you would rush right out to get it. And like, I remember a few episodes after that being like, okay, well, where is he?
Everybody was like, where is he?
You'd think you'd be making a beeline there. So,
I don't know about Bay and Tamara's relationship though.
Wait, they seemed nice, friendly enough and everything.
Yeah, there's a difference between friendly enough
and they're engaged, so obviously they've been together a couple years at least.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. things can move fast, especially in New York City. But I'm taking it right now at face value that Bay's off the table as far as a love interest for Emma. So who does that leave left for Emma to...
You're a
court.
Crook at the hook.
That is my first inclination
That's
as well.
That's a lot of people's first inclination.
And you know, if nothing else, if Bay, Neil Cassady is Peter Pan,
that would be an awesome situation.
A great way to get under his skin and potentially break up his happy relationship formed.
That'll be even weirder because, you know, the whole Hook and Rumple, and now Rumple's Henry's grandpa who's trying to kill it. I don't know.
Step-grandmother.
Yeah,
because Emma would be Henry's step-grandmother, although I don't know if Hook and Mila were ever married.
Yeah. Well, they were pirate married.
Yeah, they were pirate married.
So whatever that means.
It's like a, you know, what's that, blood brothers kind of thing. No, but yeah, so it has to be Hook, or I would venture to say the more likely candidate would be August.
Much more likely. Well,
because August is on the side of the angels, plus him and Neil have an ongoing relationship, obviously.
Positive relationship.
So,
as opposed to him and Hook.
So it wouldn't be a point of contention, her dating him. It would be, I think Neil would sign off on it with his blessing, or whatever blessing he feels he should give, not that he needs
right,
to.
Right, and he doesn't have to do.
But I mean, you know, he's the father of her kid and stuff, so they have to maintain a healthy relationship.
They have to co-parent properly.
Exactly.
They do show some very good signs of co-parenting. I'm impressed. Mm-hmm.
But for now anyway, Neil Cassady is off the table.
Yeah. I know, and you know what the thing is? Like, his apartment didn't show any sign whatsoever, I think, like, of a woman being around.
Well, maybe they hang out at her place.
It's probably nicer.
Yeah.
The only thing, like, I don't know, the dream catcher is what would be the only, like, weird, like, what if she's, like, a weird dream catcher person, too, just like Emma?
I don't know about that. I think it was probably kept around specifically as a reminder of Emma.
Possibly.
Because, I mean, you know, you fall in love with someone, but you still think fondly about, you know, people you've dated in the past and stuff. You might, if there's like a happy memento around, you want to keep that around. Obviously not like the Dear John letter or anything, or the Dear Emma letter, the Dear Emma car.
Oh, vroom, vroom. okay. Completely unrelated. Okay, so Snow was a complete and total brat.
Mm-hmm. Especially at first.
Like, complete, ew, get that out. Servants don't wear crowns.
Mm-hmm.
What the what?
But I think, if nothing else, we see that the second she was a brat, even though she came back from it, her mother started dying. I think that might have had an effect on her.
It did have an effect on her, and I really want to go to a spoiler at this part. Can I? Because I know, I will just... I'm going to put a pin in this. Can we discuss this after we watch the preview?
Sure.
Okay. Can you remind me that I've put a pin in this?
No.
Okay.
Because I have no memory whatsoever. No. Wait, where are we? What are we doing? What is
Who
this?
Who am I?
What is this glowing box in front of me?
Okay. Well, somebody remind me. Okay. Next. Your point.
My point. Back to your point first, half a second.
Okay.
I think we have seen some of these traits in Snow, specifically when that whole thing happened where she didn't have love in her heart anymore and she was beating up birds with brooms and all that stuff. I think we were seeing little Snow prior to her mother's chiding coming out.
Well, we also see that at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She makes the statement.
Which we'll talk about more.
I can't make the statement. Okay.
No.
Oh, no. I see that. I can't. Sorry, I didn't read ahead today.
It's fine. It's okay.
I was talking to the people, not to you.
Okay, so as the Blue Fairy, does Cora have something that Rumpel has always wanted and always gone after and never been able to get? The power over death. Because that candle, I mean, it could have been in the presentation, too, because she presented it as... You shouldn't be able to stop this, but there is this one way. I took the shouldn't be able to stop this as the standard. We have power over everything with magic except for death. Do you think the candle is a means to beat death and that Cora has that?
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's about where I landed with it, too. A solid maybe.
A solid maybe, because, I mean, you can't have unlimited power over death. Even if you have power over death, there has to be some sort of limits to it.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine.
But that's also something I could see Cora holding on to hold over Rumpel at an opportune time.
In about 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly. She taught herself to have power over death because, from what we know, he taught her everything.
Well, where does it? No, because it would have been before she got sent to Wonderland, because she didn't get sent to Wonderland until after Regina was about to become queen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's definitely
So she didn't have time to. But then again, I guess we'll see. We'll find out. Find out a bit more about Cora's magical timeline.
Yeah, a little bit.
In next week's episode.
It's the Miller's daughter, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, We've been waiting for this one.
It's the Cora origin story.
It's about time for the Cora origin story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see.
Guess. Okay. So, Hook, I know that you're driving the fastest vessel in all of the realms. How did it take you 2.5 seconds to get from stabbing or hitting Charming, stealing your hook back, getting on your ship, getting to New York, and getting to the exact apartment where they all were? And how did you know these things? It took Rumpel how long to figure this all out? And just went, got it.
As far as him or Hook finding the apartment – I figure either Bay is Peter Pan and Hook has some way to track Peter Pan. That would be...
See, I like that. That makes sense.
Either that or Rumpel found out where he was by using a magical implement that Cora gave him. So maybe Hook was just privy to that information as a matter of course, you know? Maybe they went back in and got the artifact and looked at it. It could have happened off screen. Who knows?
But still, he was so quick about it. And
I do think, you know, even with it being enchanted wood and everything, magic's not supposed to work outside of Storybrooke. So as soon as he got out of the radius of the town, maybe because he never crossed across that town line and he just stayed
there's
out
still
in the
a
water.
Town line in the ocean.
Because he doesn't need magic once he steps on shore.
Right, but he still has to protect, like, you can't just see a pirate ship in New York City.
Well, what I'm saying is because he never crossed that line, maybe as long as something magical stays in the water and isn't locked onto land, maybe retains its magic. Maybe once Rumpel steps onto the pirate ship, he'll have his magic back and it'll be no issue. And there'll be a big knockdown, drag out fight on the way back to Storybrooke.
Also, the poison. That's got to be some sort of magic.
Probably not, because, I mean, Rumpel doesn't.
No, because he had an enchanted hook.
Rumpel doesn't have any magic right now, so any standard poison, like the cure requires magic.
Because it's it was like a curse poison.
I don't think they said curse. They ever said curse that word. Right. I think he said it was a very strong poison of Hook's own design that I would need magic to cure, something like that. I could be remembering it slightly wrong. But I think it's just a matter of it was regular poison, but because Rumpel is human, that it's going to kill him, and he can't create a cure because he doesn't have magic, which is why they need to get back to Storybrooke.
Okay. It's still quick. Anyway.
Well, it was still very quick. We need an explanation.
I'm going to need, like, a 2-minute explanation here. I'm sure we'll get that when Hook gets out of the closet. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So this episode, we've been talking around about how it's basically Cora's machinations churning and coming to fruition in a couple of cases. But I think maybe the turn that Snow takes at the end where she says that she will kill Cora because making the right decision has always cost more lives than it was worth. I think getting Snow to that place is part of Cora's plan, because I think she's trying to set Regina up as, you know, to help her and everything. So in order to do that, she needs to make Snow and Charming and all of Regina's enemies look bad in the eyes of Henry and the town.
That's true.
So when Cora kills them, it looks like she's done them a service, and then, you know, they rise right back up into that position of power.
Okay. I have nothing to – yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So agreeable.
I'm very agreeable on that point because it makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just – like when she said, I'm going to kill Cora, I'm like, okay.
And
here we go.
I mean, in the flashback, you do hear Cora say that as her ultimate act of revenge on Eva, that she is going to turn Snow's heart dark. So there's definitely an element of that in it.
Like she says, that candle will not be her last test.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there's definitely an element of that. But I think Cora's doing that while at the same time advancing her current agenda.
Right.
So.
Okay. So Regina didn't seem to enjoy the whole finding out how Ava died and rescuing Snow and how Cora was all behind that.
Yeah.
She, like, you could tell she almost didn't want to keep going with the plan after all that was revealed, but she did because she's an obedient daughter sometimes and she's not pushing her mom through a mirror. But
see, and that last scene in Regina's house, like, I was having a hard time telling if she was just clarifying that she had understood everything correctly and kind of formulating a plan to take care of Cora after they had accomplished their primary goal.
Yeah.
Or if she was just like, oh, I wish you had told me, but oh well.
No, it was not that.
Well, I think that's what she was trying to play it off as, but you could definitely see something churning behind those eyes.
There was definitely some churning. And I don't think it was like, I don't think all of her anger about it was because of her stable boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just, you went to such lengths. What the heck was wrong with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, at that moment, she realizes that pretty much every moment of her young adult through adult life has been manipulated by this woman and shaped by this woman.
Right.
Even to a bigger degree than she ever suspected.
Right.
Because, I mean, Until this point, she had basically thought of her mother as someone who practiced a lot of magic, who had killed her boyfriend so she could marry the king. Now she finds out that it's someone who committed regicide, who killed the queen of the land.
Right.
To make her queen, and that, you know, just that someone's been pulling the strings on her life to a degree that she had no idea about for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how everything plays out with them now that they have the dagger.
Yeah, like in a lot of ways, you could, especially with some stuff that happened over the weekend, as far as spoilers being revealed and stuff,
so you
can definitely see the shape of the way that the season's going to go from here on out, except for the true nature of their relationship. That's the biggest X factor as far as building towards the finale. Talking about it. Yeah. So we shall see. Now, I really felt bad for Rumple because, you know, Emma gives him this stirring speech. You got to finally learn how to trust people. You know, Rumpelstiltskin. And then the second he does and he tells them where the dagger is, it turns out that, yeah, he fed right into his enemy's hands.
But how was he supposed to know?
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, he knew. He knew. Emma just talked him out of it.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm sure that won't go unnoticed.
No.
Emma's probably on his naughty list at the moment, yes. I would imagine.
Her and Henry, who Rumple kind of scared me with his discussion with Henry there.
Yeah.
I didn't write this down, but basically you just threatened an 11-year-old. Just get out of my way.
Well, we know he had been planning on killing Henry, right. Based on the flashback in last episode.
But that was before he knew him. Like he actually knew that it
was his grandson.
I think he actually does like Henry.
Yeah, yeah. But if Henry's going to get in his way, we'll see.
What's that going to do with his relationship with Bay if he kills his son?
You know, speaking of Bay, I think he showed that he could turn towards forgiving Rumple in this episode.
Because
you know, he says it's one thing to, you know, reject the idea of your dad, but it's another thing to watch him die in front of you.
Right. Yeah. Like because you could hear it in his voice. Oh, Papa, like he wasn't, it wasn't.
He was concerned.
Yeah. He was genuinely concerned because, I mean, it's still his dad.
Yeah. So even
if they don't have a good relationship, you still have some shred of concern over their like humanity.
Yeah. And that was definitely the first moment I've had like a shred of hope that they could ever reconnect after, you know, they connected initially last episode.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. And now for my extremely shiny, fluffy point. And this was pointed out to me from my friend Kirsten. Please, Mother Superior, you're our only hope. Thank you, ABC, for our Star Wars reference.
This has been your weekly Star Wars reference on Once Upon a Time.
Yep, that's about it. that's all I have for that.
But overall, pretty darn good episode. Okay, so out of a baker's dozen death candles.
Baker's dozen of death candles.
What would you give this episode? Baker's dozen is what, 14?
13. You're not a baker.
No, not at all.
Man, I really like this one. I'm going to go for 12 out of 13.
12 out of 13?
Baker's dozen death candles.
What happened to that last death candle? It was glazed. It was sprinkles.
Sorry. There's always room for improvement.
Fair enough.
Just like, you know, self-evaluation. You never give yourself a 10 unless the scale's out of 11.
Well,
Are you going 13 out of 13?
I was going to say I'm about to be the exception that proves the rule. I don't know what that means. I give it a 13 out of 13. I thought it was an awesome episode. I thought Manhattan was the pinnacle of what the show had to offer.
Nope, this definitely was
this
better.
This bumped it up a notch.
This was even better than – and Manhattan was pretty good.
Yeah, this had some powerful reveals, some powerful character-changing moments. Mm-hmm. And freaking the handmaid did it. That's what I say.
Wow.
She was in league with
Cora
the whole time. You are
really determined about this whole Johanna being behind everything.
Like I said, I saw through the matrix. And I've been thinking...
When did you become Rumple with seer powers?
Well, the thing is, this theory has been consuming me since it occurred to me during my second watch through the episode. So much so that I've been thinking about starting up a website that is anti-Johanna. Johanna did it. The real story. It's going to be an expose website. I'm going to do it. It's going to be red text on a black background. And it's going to be in like a courier font. And it's just going to be hundreds of thousands of words detailing this theory, detailing the timeline of Johanna in relation to Cora.
He could do it later.
And pulling together all my evidence. And there'll be video presentations and pictures and stuff too. The only problem is I don't have anywhere to put the website for people to look at it.
Have you checked into GoDaddy?
What is GoDaddy?
Not GoDaddy. GoDaddy.
Oh, GoDaddy. GoDaddy.
Yes, they do web hosting. And that would be a really good spot for your website.
They do web hosting?
They do web hosting. Yes.
So I can go to GoDaddy.com and I can set up my website, yes. johannadidit.org.
Oh, .org?
Yeah, we're going to be a nonprofit. I'm doing the paperwork right now as we're recording the episode. But the thing is, hosting plans can be really expensive. Are there any discount?
I can save you 10%.
10%?
10%.
Tell me more.
Tell you more. When you go to checkout, enter the promo code POD13.
POD13. That's POD13?
Yes, sir. POD13. And you'll get 10% off your web hosting.
10% off my web hosting. But, I haven't actually picked up the domain yet. What if I want to get a domain too? Is there a code where I could get, say, 10% off my domain and my hosting if I bought them together?
Off your entire purchase, I can save you 10% too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Blue, tell me more.
Blue 13.
Blue 13.
BLU 13.
BLU 13.
Yes, sir.
So no E in there. It's no BLU 13.
It is not like the blue fairy.
Well, I'm going to be setting up this website very, very soon.
I look forward to seeing it. Can you please link it in our show notes?
I will.
Okay.
I'm not going to make the website.
Got it. But
we do want to thank GoDaddy.
For sponsoring our insanity.
Yes, definitely. And like we said, if you want 10% off of your purchase, BLU13 at checkout. And if you want 10% off web hosting, it's POD13 at checkout. And any purchases you make on GoDaddy with those codes will help bring you our wonderful, wonderful podcast. Now, on to the news. News. Okay,
we're getting better at that.
Yes, we are. Okay, so weekly ratings report. It did come in... You know what? I didn't actually look at this. I should have. We had a 2.2 share, which isn't great, but it isn't the worst number we've seen this season. What was it, like 1.9 a couple weeks ago? 1.8. But it did really good. What was it, the second for the night?
Yeah, I believe it came in second for its time slot for the night.
Which is good. It's on an upswing now that we're done with all the breaks.
Well, having four episodes in a row is really going to help us.
Yes. So it's officially four episodes.
It's the month of March.
Counting this one? So.
Yes.
And then there's another break.
Hold on. I'm looking. I'm researching.
You know, we spent half of the last news section looking to see if there was going to be a hiatus. Hiatus. My hiatus is acting up.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's live in the now. On to the next story.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, he got me on that one. This week, Horowitz did a couple of tweet question answer moments.
That's for those who don't know, that's the head writer, isn't it? Or one
showrunner,
of the head writers. Showrunner,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, showrunner, dude. So, I just sort of went through, I skimmed them, I grabbed a couple. This is the one that highly entertains me most. Mm-hmm. Once it wants to load so I can read it. Okay, question. Did Blue, as in Blue Fairy, have her memories during the curse years? What were the final plans of the fairies before the curse hit? Now, keep in mind, he doesn't answer anything fully. None of them ever do. No, she didn't have her memories during the curse. But apparently, we don't get to know the final preparations in it.
And I think that answers something we were talking about last
couple
week.
Episodes ago.
No, I think during the round table, we were talking about the Blue Fairy a little bit and what she knew and when she knew and if her and August were conspiring.
Right.
There. So I guess not. So I wonder what her and August were talking about. If she didn't have her Blue Fairy mojo yet.
I have no idea.
Interesting.
We're going to need that zoomed in. Get a little bit of a kind of flashback. I'll read the other ones that I saved too, since they're short. It's a tweet. They're cool. Mm-hmm. When will Belle get her memory back? All they yell is spoiler. Love spoilers, but not too much of them. When do we get to see more August this season? That's pretty much. Yes. Then they have lots of people. Lies. Lies and deceptions. One more. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, there was a lot of people asking about the legalities of the adoption.
Mm.
How that
all
sort
worked
of
out.
Shenanigans, like was there paperwork and all of that. And the response is, it's legal in Storybrook. She went through the process, but that's a story for later.
Interesting.
That's a fairly direct type of answer from him, because these are usually very coded.
Very vague. They did, though, and moving on to the next story, yes. They did reveal some other key plot points and spoilers at the Paley Fest panel that it was a couple of the writers and Snow and Emma and Charming and Rumple and Hook and Belle. They did this big panel. And they threw out a couple spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled about the next couple episodes, actually go ahead and skip ahead about 4 or 5 minutes when we get into the listener feedback, because this story and the next story have a lot of spoilers. We'll give you a three countdown. Three, two, one. It's your fault. Okay.
That was horrible.
Yes, it was. No, but they revealed a lot of stuff. First of all, titles for the two-part season finale – and this ties into our Bay Theory a little bit. The first episode of the season finale will be called Second Star to the Right, and the second episode will be called Straight On Till Morning.
Yeah. I think you texted those to me at work, and I may have squealed a little while at work, and I work retail, so that doesn't go over well.
So I think we'll be definitely going to Neverland in the final two episodes.
So pumped.
Yes.
Perhaps that will be where they're headed when the split happens in the middle of town.
If I were a betting man, I would bet that Second Star to the Right tells us how Bay got to Neverland and what happened while he was there. And then Straight On Till Morning, people go.
Yeah.
So we will see. Something else they revealed is that Gus, our favorite minor character who only lasted one episode, is set to return this season.
Gus.
Not as Gus, they said. Although, they didn't say that directly, but they said he would be returning as Billy the Mechanic.
Whatever, he's still Gus.
Yeah, so
I don't expect him to come back squeaking like a mouse.
And if I were a betting man, I would guess that he would be returning in another episode. I think they've talked about it a little before, but they went into detail on it that they're going to be doing called Welcome to Storybrook, which is the first week of the curse.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Because you never really think about how did this all start? Like, did they have like a memory or what?
Or was it like they just got transported to this town and it took a while to kick in?
Yeah, like, I mean, who just says, okay, I'm going to be a teacher today? Like,
yeah, but that's That's something that we'll be seeing this season as well in Welcome to Storybrooke, which is pretty cool. They also said, based on the rumors from last week, that they won't be recasting the Mad Hatter.
Yay!
And that they're willing to hold back on the character until he's available to do it.
Which could be next season, because right now, yeah, he's doing a pilot, but I think the bigger problem is that he's doing like a Broadway show.
Yeah.
And those kind of take over your life.
But to do an episode, all he really needs is a free week or two. Because television, you don't get more than a week or two, especially network television.
Yeah.
Like Walking Dead doesn't take more than a week. And those are mini movies.
Right.
Basically. So, finally, they said that Belle's Storybrooke memory, her cursed memory, will be coming back. And she'll be coming back as her Storybrooke persona is a character called Racy Lacey, and that the name is very indicative of the type of person she is.
No.
She's Racy and Lacey.
Lace.
There's no significance to the Lacey.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll get to see her crazy self. Crazy cuckoo bananas.
But that's like, that's the weird thing. Like, her whole Storybrooke life was in a cell.
Well, what they were saying is that if you remember when Charming was in a coma for many, many years, when he first came out of it, he really didn't remember a lot about he wasn't his Storybrooke self and he wasn't his Fairy Tale Land self. He was just kind of confused.
Right.
And out there. And then eventually his Storybrooke memory came back. And that's what's going to happen to Belle.
Interesting.
She's just going to pop back into that girl that was in the bottom floor of the hospital for 30 years. 26 years.
Something like that, yeah.
So a lot of really good stuff revealed there. As always, we'll have that link and all these other links in our show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. So if you want to watch it, it's like an hour and a half. It's really good. We have a YouTube link for you. And finally, we have some preview clips from The Miller's Daughter and some pictures.
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 I like pictures.
We're going to be in pictures.
I like the videos really.
Yeah.
Major spoilers.
Major, major spoilers. We get to see the first glimpse of Cora and Eva meeting in one of them. And we also get to see our first glimpse of Rose McGowan as young Cora.
Dear Rose McGowan, lay off the plastic surgery.
Yeah,
you don't even look like yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. It works for the character because you do look like Cora. But stop, please.
Yeah, she's not quite Jawbreaker anymore.
No.
Well, I don't know what her character's name was in that movie, but I'll just
Nobody
assume
does.
It was Jawbreaker.
This is not Marilyn Manson's girlfriend anymore.
Yeah, and in the second clip, we see her making out with Rumple. Rose McGowan making out with Rumple, and there's some sort of arranged marriage that Rumple is using to his advantage, and he's using Cora for it. It's a little unclear.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, because they make out
a
lot.
You know, it wasn't great when they made out in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, they weren't like, I'm making out, but...
Yeah, it was just a little peck.
There's a little more than that. And it's really
cool.
I mean, and it's
Rumple's more friendly with young Cora than he's ever been with Belle, I think.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Which, that opens up a whole nother world of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a lot of pictures available here, too, along with the clips. But they're all pretty much from the scenes that are in the clips. Except you see a few shots of modern-day Cora and Regina and Neil and everyone else. Fighting. I think Emma has a knife to Regina's throat at one point.
Ooh, this is gonna be good.
Which is fun. So
can I pull one thing from that? You don't need to reopen it.
Surely.
So Ava, in what we see, and again, spoilers, she was a bit of a brat like Snow was.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously something is going to happen that sort of switches her to realizing you need
She'll learn a very important lesson.
Yeah. Yes. That good always conquers over evil.
And that you should be cool, or else your subjects will be all like, what?
Yeah, see, basically, Ava messed up by tripping Cora. Yeah, that's, I was like, that wasn't this week. Thank you. So, yeah, there you go. And done.
Excellent. Okay, so now on to listener questions. Before we begin, I'll go ahead and give you all that contact information
contact
we promised
information,
you.
Yes.
And we know you've been listening the entire episode just for the contact information. You can email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GFStorybrooke. And we have a Facebook, Google+, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can get all those links at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And we will give you a prize, which is a copy of our notes from this episode.
Okay.
We will send it to you in the mail if you leave us a voicemail this week. The voicemail number is 424-274-2352. And I'm serious. I'm going to
leave a callback number.
Yeah.
Or an email.
Yeah, so we can get a hold of you to get your address and everything. But I will take Anne-Marie's notes from her as soon as we're done recording this episode.
And there's like seven, like I basically wrote another script.
And I'll put them in an envelope, and whoever leaves us the voicemail first
wins.
Gets our notes, and we'll sign them or something. I don't know.
Because that's worth a lot.
We'll throw some arts and crafts in there too. I don't know.
We have
but anyway, our first letter is from Wynn. You want to go ahead and read
it? Sure. Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. This was one of those episodes where my dislike of certain character turns more ferocity to a dislike of how they are written. The scenes last night reminded me of the vignettes of a poorly run role-playing game where the party is split and the game master is too distracted to keep up with the logic of their actions. Jeez. On to the haterade.
On to the haterade.
I was going to say, that wasn't the haterade, Gwyn. Queen Ava, focus less on being good and go shopping. You shouldn't have to live, linger, and die in the same outfit. She does not linger in the same outfit. BT dub. When I watched it the second time after reading, she had like a white outfit as opposed to the red sparkles. And those red sparkles were fabulous.
But she was still wearing the royal bling. Maybe that's where Wynn got confused.
Maybe. Without ever removing her shoes. Okay, see, that I'll give you. She totally should have taken those off. But were you supposed to notice the sparkly ruby shoes? Oh, hey.
That could be something.
That could be something.
I know I've heard of the red slippers involved in something. I can't quite place it. Oh, Superman. The Superman. No, wait, that wasn't the Superman.
We're going to move on while you pretend to not know what I'm talking about. Then there's Hook, getting to New York City in the blink of an eye, using a cloaking device that works where other magic doesn't, and finding Rumple and company with ease. How?
The Wizard of Oz. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Cora, my dear, why didn't you just fling Snow and Charming out the window? It's not like the dagger's going to break. Oh, Mrs. Splatmore. Okay, I don't know about that one, lady. Gone too soon. Also, worst funeral ever. Did Pongo dig the hole?
Most
I do
likely.
Like this show, really. Yes, when we could use some positivity coming from you. Splatmore, come on.
Yes, overall, a very negative letter from Wynn. Yeah. But we all
Wynn
have...
was not on our 12 to 13 death candle scale.
No.
She was like at an 8.
No, but, you know, different people feel different things, and it's okay that you feel that way when we don't dislike you for it, but we will never read one of your letters again. I'm just kidding. Okay.
She's and gonna be the one leaving the voicemail.
Okay, and our second letter and last letter is from Stacy, and she says, "Hey all, I was thinking about the line Neil says about seeing what Rumple does to people who break steals." I was thinking the line was referring to Hook. I messed that sentence
completely.
All up. I'm sorry, Stacy.
Would you like to start over?
No. Okay, she's saying that the line about Rumple breaking deals, referring to Hook. Since we haven't really been shown a deal that Bay has seen broken, I'm thinking that he was talking about seeing that Rumple had cut off Hook's hand or knew something about Hook. And this is me adding it. I think she's saying, you know, he knew something about Rumple and Hook's history.
Okay.
I also think that... that Henry will be Rumple's undoing, or the line Henry. I'm doing an awful job at reading.
Apparently, I should have read tonight.
I also think that the line Henry will be Rumple's undoing may be referring to the fact that because of him, Regina and Cora, though her motives are questionable, are hunting for the dagger to control him. I also think, however, that Rumple may think this means something different than it is. So possibly I may try to kill him. So Anne-Marie was yawning there. I don't think that's a reflection on Stacey's letter.
It is not a reflection on Stacey's letter. On your reading of Stacey's letter.
Yeah, my reading was atrocious. It did not live up to the letter at all. But interesting theories.
What she's saying is that Henry's going to be the undoing in a different way, I think.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Let's just simplify.
But we want to thank everyone for writing in, and we gave you all the contact information. You can get it at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Like I said, the voicemail number, again, if you want our notes from this episode, 424-274-2352. Just call in. Talk to us.
Say hey.
Say what's up.
We like
Let me know what you think
voices.
About my Johanna theory, because yes. I think it's pretty solid.
I think it's awesome.
And one little thing I wanted to drop here before we sign off and everything. Is that Project DragonCon 2013, Once Upon a Time edition, got a little more interesting today. The official DragonCon Twitter announced that the Blue Fairy will be in attendance with Dr. Hopper.
And this is when I'm trying and scrambling to figure out babysitters for all of DragonCon because I want to go play this year.
Yeah, and so I'm really hoping we can either get interviews or, fingers crossed, I'm going to start talking to some people. Maybe get a Greetings from Storybrooke panel at DragonCon. Maybe. We'll see.
Man, now you got to do some work on it. You threw it out there to the people.
Yeah, I did throw it out there to the people. That's to keep me honest.
Please keep him honest.
Now I have to actually talk to these people.
They like you.
They do. They do. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. If nothing else, I can probably score a couple of interviews. But let's see. Anything else you have to add, Anne-Marie?
I'm good.
You're good?
Okay.
Okay, I think I'm good too, so I guess, until next week.
Greetings from Storybrooke.